And now, time for your letters. Many of you commented on our story on the military mortuary at Dover Air Force Base, where bodies of servicemen and women killed in the line of duty are prepared for burial.
Listener Timothy Carr writes, "Your story brought tears to my eyes." He goes on, "My brother's body passed through Dover on its trip home from Vietnam 35 years ago. I can recall vividly everything associated with that time. Sights, smells, sounds, and of course, the yellow telegrams. The telegrams mostly started with, 'Stop, this message concerns the disposition of the remains of,' and ended with a note not to contact the writer." Mr. Carr continues, "I wasn't aware of the procedures at Dover, and it is a small comfort to know the dead are treated there with respect, dignity, and kindness."
That same story reminded Dan Bowles of Chattanooga, Tennessee, of his service as a bugler for many funerals while he was in the Air Force. Mr. Bowles writes, "I played taps at a family plot in the corner of a stubble cornfield in North Carolina while cows munched the stubble and a cold December rain fell on us all. And I played taps on gorgeous spring days at Arlington National Cemetery. And every one of the several hundred military funerals I have played for, I was aware that this service, the one right now, is the most important service that this family has ever been to. And it inspired me to be consistent and beautiful with my playing of taps."
Terry Stella writes from Seattle about our story yesterday on Arizona's vote to change the name of Squaw Peak to Piestewa Peak in honor of Private Lori Piestewa, who was killed in Iraq.
Mr. Stella writes, "The map maker we interviewed missed the point entirely. He says the mere fact that people referring to Squaw Peak and other geographical features with squaw in them aren't consciously insulting Native Americans or women is not at issue. The American English use of the term originated in a misogynist, racist context, and the fact that lots of landmarks now bear the name doesn't change its history. It's not necessary for something to be intended as offensive for it to be, in fact, offensive."
Our story about a coffee roaster in Brooklyn that's been fined for offensive coffee odors prompted this from Daniel Wilson in Sacramento. "Sounds like an easy way for the city to get income and to be a nuisance at the same time. It is a story like this one, which convinces the common person that we have too much government. Something has to be done. I think I'll have another cup of the stinky stuff."
And John Cady chimes in from Golden, Colorado, "You're lucky I love the smell of coffee, or I would report NPR to the FCC. When you finished the story about Gilly's Coffee in Brooklyn, I realized I was smelling the most marvelous odor of freshly ground coffee. I checked around me, and it was not coming from a source in my house, but straight out of my brain, transmitted over the airwaves."
You can send your comments to atc@npr.org. And please let us know where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name.